KCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. The Federal Reserve cut its key interest rate by a quarter point today. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The Fed's decision means that it will be slightly less expensive to borrow money, whether that means you carry a credit card balance or maybe getting a new auto loan or a new small business loan. But savers will not be able to earn as much on those money markets, those high-yield savings accounts, and those short-term CDs.
The Fed indicated it will make two more cuts this year. Former CDC Director Susan Menarez was questioned by lawmakers today about her firing by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy. She says he wanted her to sign off on new vaccine recommendations, but didn't have the data to back them up.
Is there any precedent for a CDC director to be asked to pre-approve vaccine recommendations without ever having actually seen the recommendations themselves or the medical and scientific evidence backing them up?
I have never experienced that.
The CDC advisory panel is expected to release its recommendations this week. Some Western states have issued their own. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
The West Coast is taking action, grounded in evidence and safety and transparency, issuing new recommendations for our residents, starting with a vaccine schedule for the winter virus season.
FBI Director Kash Patel faced more heated questions today from lawmakers about releasing Epstein files. Senator Pramila Jayapal.
I would like to ask
the gentlelady's time has expired. I gave her the additional 45 seconds she requested. The gentlelady yields back. The gentleman from New Jersey is recognized for his 5 minutes.
If you would meet with the women who were sexually abused and raped and groomed at the ages of 14 and 16 years old, are you going to cover up?
Jim Crisula reports there's new scrutiny of federal immigration tactics.
U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement put more than 10,500 people in solitary confinement. That's according to a new study from Physicians for Human Rights. From February to May of this year, the number of individuals placed in solitary confinement by ICE increased by an average of nearly 7% per month.
King Charles welcomed President Trump to Windsor Castle for a state banquet.
This unique and important occasion reflects the enduring bond between our two great nations.
On the streets of London,
Donald Trump, you can't hide!
We charge you with genocide!
More than 50 protest groups marched to Parliament. Thousands of police officers were out. On Wall Street today, stocks finished mixed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
And welcome back. It is hour number two of the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, along with Jason Foster, and we got 28 minutes without you with Coach Wodzinski from Marathon.
Yeah, you got a little long-winded when I wasn't there.
I had so many questions to ask. But now for our second guest here tonight, D.C. Everest running back senior Corbin Enzenroth. Corbin, thank you for coming on over.
Yeah.
And we'll get you a little closer to that microphone. Oh, right. There you go. But glad you could be over here. Congratulations on the last couple of weeks. Obviously, as a running back, to have 400 yards rushing over 2 weeks is a big accomplishment. Let's talk about the season so far. D.C. Everest coming off such a wonderful run last year to the state semifinals, came in with changes. He had some real significant players that graduated. You move into a new role. How has it been for you coming into the running back position, becoming from the outside, it looks like the kind of the bell cow for the Evergreens. How has the season gone for you personally? Has it been an adjustment to become a guy getting the football, 35 times in a game like we saw last week?
Yeah, it definitely has. The first 2 weeks we weren't too hot, but after those 2 weeks, I think since then we've all been, like, together, just playing good and solid, even, like, with scout team. Like, everyone just stepped up, and I'm proud of the guys. Been doing good.
So D.C. Everest, Chad touched on a little bit, is kind of about tradition, right? And we had Coach on a couple times last year, and we had Bangston on, we had the different players on.
Xavier
already this year. We kind of talked about how last year was kind of a new tradition, right? New coach, and I mean, Everest, you're still Everest football, and you're trying to accomplish. You guys had a phenomenal season. So stepping into that running back position after the year that Bangston had last year, those are big shoes to fill. And when you start the year 0-2, and I know you have somebody, Xavier, a huge play guy and coming back, and a lot of guys focusing on him, the way you right the ship in high school football, if you start to struggle a little bit, is by running the football. And you guys have obviously done that, and done that very, very well the last 2 weeks. Tell me about what that process has been like, going through those first 2 weeks rough, but the number of carries you had and kind of what your role is and what it means to be the guy at WAS or at D.C. Everest.
Yeah, I knew over the summer, I was told by numerous people I had big shoes to fill. So I worked hard. We all worked hard. And we came in and, we thought it was going to be like more of a pass heavy. I heard that a lot. And then, you know, we got like Xavier's doubled every game. It opens up the box. We got more room to run. And then from there, it just went with the flow. And then, like, we saw it West, like, 35, 37, whatever it was, rushes. Yeah, we kind of just whatever 37 works.
37 rushes. That's a heavy workload.
I think the other piece of that, too, right, the injury at quarterback, you know what I mean? Probably took the pass heavy part of it down even a little bit more. So kind of mm-hmm. increased your role a little bit, and you've obviously done a great job with that.
What was the maybe some of the keys? It's not just you. You did a lot of heavy lifting yourself the last 2 weeks. What has been the keys in order for you to get the two back-to-back, 175, I think, against Wisconsin Rapids, and then 237 against Wausau West? What have been the keys to the success for you and the run game generally for DC Everest?
It's been the O-line, for sure. And Coach Mitchell plays a role, you know, switching up all the runs each week and stuff. But the O-line has been doing really good.
Who are some of the kids on the offensive front for your team? Who are the ones that you get behind and you know, hey, I'm going to have some room to run?
Carson Zesch and Will White. Yep. And Chris Ferrario.
Yeah, the young guy.
Yeah.
The young guy. In terms of, has there been a change in mentality after the first 2 weeks? Did you have a sense that, you know, we're going to make a few adjustments, maybe find out some different ways to, for lack of a better term, skin the cat?
Yeah, we were definitely really hungry. We wanted, especially coming into conference, we knew we had to step it up and we had to focus each day. And after those two losses, I think, like a lot of us, especially like a senior heavy team, mm-hmm. we weren't very happy with that. So we kind of used our leadership and we all stepped up.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about your leadership, because you guys, I know, had a best season DC Everest has had in a long time last year, made it one game away from going to state. Mm-hmm. A lot of those key players were gone. Several key players are back as well. What was the offseason like? Like, what was the focus having made such a nice deep run last year? What was the mindset this offseason from a leadership standpoint? I know you guys worked hard in the weight room and all that stuff, but what were some of the things you guys did off the field to kind of make sure you carried that forward this year?
So we actually have a leadership council, and we all get together. We got together before lifting in the summer, and there's a, I forgot what it's called, but there's a leadership manual, and it's a chapter and then a page. So we all got together, discuss how we're going to use that in real life, all that kind of stuff.
When did you start playing football? How old were you?
Pretty young. Flag football, elementary school.
I ask because you may not know this, but I started and played some football at Everest Flag Football. And it was a great program back a long time ago. What was it about football that got you hooked? Because we talk to kids who come in and so often they get hooked early. Was there anything particular about the game of football that hooked you quickly?
Not really. It was actually wrestling for me. So, yeah, and then fractured my back a couple times, so I called it quits on wrestling. But I always found football fun, you know, recess, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I always found it fun, but it was wrestling for me.
When you were a middle school and junior high player for DC Everest, who were some of the guys who were on that varsity team that you kind of looked up to and thought, that's what I want to be when I get there?
The number one guy was probably Caden Bankston and Preston Miller. Those two, I'd have to say.
Do you use anything that you did on the wrestling mat on the football field? Because sometimes we all talk to offensive linemen. I think that sometimes we've had guys that have been wrestlers who are able to use it, either offensive or defensive linemen, that can use some of the techniques. Are you, as a running back, able to use anything, or is it too different?
I think staying low helped me. Like, you know, like you're in a wrestling match, you know, you're down.
Right.
Like that. I think staying low and in that stance has kind of helped me.
What other sports do you play now other than football?
I run track.
And sprinter?
Yep, short sprinter.
Well, again, we're talking to Corbin Enzenroth, DC Everest High School senior, member of the Evergreen football team here on the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. When we were talking before we went on the air, you mentioned that you had a hamstring tear last year at the end of indoor track. As a running back, as a sprinter, is it hard to come back from that? Do you still think about that? Because injuries are often part of the game, and sometimes bouncing back from injuries can be very difficult. Was there any issue both physically and also mentally in terms of going 100% without the fear of maybe re-injuring yourself?
Yeah. I had PT throughout, like, all summer, so I did what I could, but the first couple weeks of football, I had to wear, like, sleeves and stuff, and I could definitely still feel it, but it kind of just went away. I got to get stretched out. I got to get my hamstring stretched out some practices, but other than that, it's fine.
Is there a lot of guys, when you say you run track and football, is there a lot of crossover? A lot of guys play both, and is that what does that, you think, help make both of those teams better with a lot of guys playing both those sports?
Yeah, I think so. That's kind of the reason I joined track, and then I was decent at it. So I think a couple of us all joined track because of that.
Stepping away from sports for a few moments, what's your favorite class in school?
Sports and history, Mr. Hansen. It's pretty good.
That sounds like a class. Yeah, I wish I had.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What do you guys study in there?
It's basically just like the history of sports. Like, so far we learned Malice at the Palace. You guys know?
Yeah.
We watched. There's a documentary on Netflix that we watched like first week of school. It was pretty fun. And then now we are learning about sports and civil rights. So I just had to do a presentation today, actually.
What'd you present on?
So you had to pick a person and an event. So I picked Jim Brown and his, like, helping out in the community and the movements he started. And then I picked the banning of the Confederate flag in NASCAR.
Interesting.
With Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I wish that class was when I was back in school. That sounds like a very interesting class. When you're away from school, when you're away from sports, what do you do to get away from it all? Is there anything in particular that you enjoy that maybe outside the sports realm and outside the school realm that, hey, this is something I really like to do just for fun?
Yeah, I really like hunting and fishing.
What kind of, is there a, are you a gun deer hunter or something like that? Or
gun and bow. I just went up last weekend for opener, but it was so hot.
I'd say pretty warm. I don't think this weekend's going to be much better. No. When we talk football, you've talked a lot about your friends and crossover and stuff like that. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about offensive stats and that sort of thing. You guys pitched a shutout last week. Tell me a little bit about defense, not necessarily X's and O's, but who are the guys on your defense? Like, what is the other half of DC Evers football?
Well, I would say a good leader, probably one of the best, is Brad Rickert. And he's stepped up a lot. Some of the other ones, Carson Kempf, he's a big one. I grew up wrestling with him. So
what is the attitude of your defense this year? Are they fast? Are they tough? Hard hitting? What do they hang their hat on? What gets them fired up?
They're kind of mean.
Mean.
Yeah.
All right.
They're kind of mean at practice.
All right. You probably get to experience that firsthand.
Yeah.
My kind of coach is Coach Mitchell. We've enjoyed having him on the show last season, and it's really interesting to see a younger coach come to DC Evers with all the tradition it has, and for him to make such an immediate impact. You were a junior last season as he took over the head coaching position. How would you describe him and the process that he was able to implement, both for the success last season and here this season as well?
I would say he's calm and collective, and he gets on us when it needs to be, but all of us, everyone on offense, trusts him. Like, whatever call he plays, no one's going to second guess it. We all have faith in him. So,
do you consider his offense fun? A fun offense for a player?
Yeah, I would say. I like it.
Kind of jumping back and forth a little bit, what are you looking to do after high school?
Not quite sure yet. I don't know if I want to take the football route yet or focus on my academics. But
continue. I'm sorry. Let me jump in real fast,
right,
because then you can continue as well. It's always interesting talking to student athletes who are in that position where they have maybe the opportunity to continue the athletic aspect of it. With maybe the last couple of weeks it could have changed. Do you hear from coaches after a game like you had Friday night at the college level? What kind of contact have you had with maybe folks at the college level at this point?
I had some contact earlier this year. Before the game on – or after the game on Friday, actually, a Marine recruiter came up to me, gave me a shirt, and shook my hand. So.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
If – you were to continue, and let me ask, because this year is different for you being the guy for getting the football. Was playing college football something that was on your mind before this year, or now that you are getting the opportunity to show your worth, is that something that is maybe changing your perspective for the future?
Yeah, I didn't before the season. I wasn't leaning towards college football. I've thought about it more. But I'm kind of on the fence right now about if I want to play or not.
You said before, or concentrate more on your studies. What area of study are you interested in, or what do you think in as a career after high school and potentially football? What do you want to get into?
Finance. One thing I'd like to do is real estate.
That's,
I think that'd be fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in your life that's been involved in that maybe got your interest in it? Do you have family or friends that or you've seen in finance, or is this something that just came to you?
It just came to me, kind of.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Just... One of the things I love asking, or Chad and I ask each week that I love the answers to, is Wisconsin Valley Conference. You're talking about track. We've talking obviously a lot about football. Who's your favorite team to compete against? What's your best rivalry for you?
By the way, I saw a social media post from you last week, so I got a sense here.
There's some, yeah, it's West. It's in everything, yeah.
How did you put it? I think you said, this is a fun week or something like that. I think it was early in the week.
No shade on West, but they were posting on Instagram, and they kept saying, it's hate week.
Yeah.
Oh. So, you know, us Evers were positive, so we said it's fun week.
Oh, very interesting. How much do you keep an eye on? That's one of the interesting. That's different for me, and I'm probably different for you as well, because we had none of this back when we were going to school. How much do you keep an eye on opponents, what they do say online?
I don't pay too much attention, but people do, and it you know it comes around. You normally hear it.
I think I would agree. I think especially just the geography, how close by. I think East and West used to be a huge rivalry. The schools have definitely changed. I would say most West athletes that we have on would say that Everest is their favorite rivalry as well. But kind of piggybacking on that, you guys have had some, the last 2 years in football anyway, you and Spash have kind of been head-to-head, super close games, came down to conference championships. Is there a little extra juice in that rivalry as well?
Yeah, for sure. Especially with Coach Mitchell being our coach. If you know his background, he came from there. So I think we got our coaches back, and
kind of a little extra juice for him that week as well, I suppose. Yeah.
As we look forward for the rest of the season, and we're almost halfway through, where does your team have to be better in order to reach the goals? And you're right now 2-0 in the conference, so conference championship is still very much in play, and of course everybody wants to get to the playoffs and make a nice deep run like DC Everest made last year. Where does your team have to be better in order to get to the level that maybe the team that last year had at Everest?
I think for offense, communication, that's kind of like the big jump from week 2 to 3. Like, especially up front, we had a lot better communication, and we've been doing a lot better with that.
Yeah, so this week is Marshfield. Chad and I spend a lot of time talking leading up to when the guests come about recapping last week, and then eventually we'll preview next week's games. And one of the big things last week, when you get to a second conference game, the picture starts to become a little more clear, right, with the wins and losses. And right now you guys are undefeated in conference. Spash is undefeated overall. And you guys beat West, so you kind of have the upper hand there. This week is Marshfield, right? And Marshfield's kind of a little different.
They're undefeated in conference.
Right. They're undefeated in conference and haven't really played any of the traditional Wisconsin Valley conference. They beat Eau Claire Memorial last week, but Marshfield, a program with a ton of tradition and success, maybe not so much the last couple of years. So what's the mindset? I know almost every athlete comes in, as they should, says we only care about who we're playing this week and the next game. For you guys, that's Marshfield. What has this week been like? What are you expecting Friday night from Marshfield?
We're expecting they're going to fight hard. We'll fight harder. That's kind of how it always goes. But I don't know. We're kind of expecting the same as every week. You know, we know they're 1-3, but they're 1-0 in conference, and they're still a decent, solid team. Right. So we got to play hard.
And the one thing about Marshfield is they always have good athletes, right? I mean, sometimes they gel and put it all together, but no matter what, they're always going to have guys who can hit big plays, and they usually have tough, hard-nosed kids on defense too. So that'll be a good one. I'm kind of very interested to see how that one plays out. It should paint the picture a little more clear for us.
It sounds like you're kind of in the mindset that it's not really what they do, it's what you do. It's about executing when you have the football, doing the things that in a lot of ways you did the last couple of weeks. Is that the way you kind of look at it, that, you know, they're going to throw stuff at us, but if we're able to execute, we should be okay?
Yeah. We know our worth.
Jason, anything else before we ask the final question?
No, it's been exciting to watch. I mean, when we talk about when we get preseason and we recap last year and we kind of talk about what's coming this year, the question marks at DC Everest was who's going to be replaced at quarterback? Who's going to replace a running back? So it's been exciting to watch you have such a great start to the year. So congratulations and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And we have one final question, which we always ask to our student athlete guests, especially those who are senior, who are getting towards the end of your high school career, and especially those who have been involved in multiple sports. Based on what you've learned since you started your athletic career at DC Everest, and if you had a freshman either in football or track and field that would say, what piece of advice could you give me to make my time at DC Everest and in the DC Everest athletic program the best possible? What piece of advice would you give to a freshman based on what you've learned over the last number of years?
Right now, I would tell them not to take it for granted. It hasn't hit me, like, a lot yet, but I know we only have a couple more weeks of football. And I would tell them, show up. That's a big one. Show up and work your hardest.
Very good. Congrats again. Last 2 weeks, you put up some really massive numbers, and I know it's not easy in the Wisconsin Valley Conference to put up those kind of numbers. So congratulations on the success. Best of luck as you continue the rest of the season and then in the spring as well. And thanks for popping on by.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Corbin Enzenroth, DC Everest Evergreen senior running back, joining us as our student-athlete guest this week. We're going to come back. We're going to finish our recaps of last week's games and then look ahead to week number 5 coming up. It is the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. But Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes, and again, always great to have our guests come in, and sorry you couldn't be with us for Coach Jason Wodzinski, but he was terrific. And then, of course, Corbin Enzenroth as well. And it's not easy to get 400 yards in the Wisconsin Valley Conference over a two-week span. So he's off to a a flying start in the conference.
Yeah, and I love kids from programs like that and coming off the year they had. Obviously, we talked a ton last year about Coach and how he had kind of created the new tradition there and how much kids like playing for him. But in a program like DC Everest, or we talked about Edgar and Stratford, and I'd like, it's the when that superstar graduates and it's your turn, what are you going to do with it, right? Are you going to be the guy, or are you going to give Coach the opportunity to give somebody else a chance to be the guy? And it looks like he's done a great job of taking the reins and picking up where Bankston left off.
Let's finish up talking about last week. We are up to the Marrowood CWC. And Edgar took on Marquette Academy of Illinois. And it's a normal Edgar football game, I tell you. It's like we're back in 1973. It's like back before the offensive explosion, because every week Edgar doesn't really score a lot, but boy, their defense is stingy, and they were able to beat Marquette Academy 9-6. It went right down to the wire. A 24-yard field goal by Anthony Trawicki with 3.7 seconds left broke a 6-6 tie. Offensively, Gavin Maurer, 13 rushes, 71 yards. Maverick Butt, 22 rushes, 68 yards. Kind of jumped out to me. 3.1 yards per rush, 2 yards per pass. Edgar has been great defensively, but they get a little bit more, don't they, offensively?
Yeah, I think so. When you look at those playoff matchups, right, like the years they have not made it to state, which – in the last few, hasn't been many. But right. Before that, I mean, that's kind of what it's come down to, their ability to score points. And I mean, this is as classic an Everest football game. I don't know much about Marquette Academy, and they probably didn't know much about Edgar, but they know a lot more now. But I think what it speaks to is the great defense, rush the football, yeah. And then even the when you look at Coach Sins, right, the old school coaches, right, three phases, right, offense, defense, special teams. So to be able to execute a field goal with 3.7 seconds left, that doesn't just happen either. I mean, there's time spent on that on practice, but I agree with you. I think defense wins championships, but you do have to score points, especially in the playoffs, especially being up a division like they are too. So it'll be interesting to see what that bracket looks like and who sits in front of them.
And the thing is, we're just 4 weeks in. There's time to develop all phases of the game for all these teams.
I think the other side note to that one is, from the sounds of it, Marquette Academy is a heck of a football program as well.
Yeah. Abbotsford beat Pacelli 42-18. So Abby has won three games in a row. They're 3-1 overall, 2-0 in the conference. Pacelli 1-3, 0-2. It was a quick start for Abbotsford. They led 42-0 at halftime. Irvin Aguilera didn't have to do a whole lot. Only 5 attempts, 98 yards, a touchdown. But also, he did get an interception on defense, returned that one for a score. And Abbotsford does what Abbotsford does. 33 rushes for 341 yards, 4 touchdowns as a team. So no big high school sports show jinx for Jacob Knapp-Miller, as he was our guest last week.
That makes me happy. the other thing I would say about that is, we used to talk about this with Edgar all the time too. Like, and that's not every week for Abbotsford, but in a game like that, 42-0 at half, 42-0 final score, those kids, I know they're a little banged up. I know they lost their quarterback earlier in the year, so that gives them the opportunity to play some other kids and get some different opportunities, and it looks like that's what they did Friday night against Pacelli.
Auburndale was glad not to see the Edgar defense for a second straight week. They struggled against Edgar in the first week of the conference, but they bounced back big time, defeating Pittsville 41-0. So Auburndale 3-1, 1-1. Pittsville 1-3, 1-1. Peyton Weinfurter, 7 of 8 passing, 65 yards and a score. Nathan Van Wy had 14 carries, were 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. Josh Lundgren, big on the defensive side for Auburndale, 11 tackles and an interception. Dawson Luther tried to get the Pittsville offense going. He led the way with 14 rushes, 92 yards. Auburndale just, again, very consistent. The last few years, they've, you know, when they win when they're supposed to win, they just come out there and they do it. And another solid effort for them.
Yeah, and these matchups going forward now, like, they have Edgar in their rearview mirror, so they're kind of
a good thing.
Right, they kind of gear up for the rest of the season in a playoff run.
Then Assumption, they're 2-0 in the conference, and this is their last year in 11-player football. They're going 8-player next year, but they're trying to finish with a playoff run, and they defeated Iola Scandinavia 32-26 in overtime last week. 2-2 overall, 2-0 in the conference for Assumption. Iola 1-3, 0-2, banged up Iola team right now. But Braxton Steinert for Assumption, 27 rushes, 155 yards and a touchdown. Camden Martin, 7.5 tackles. So good for Assumption to try and finish up their 11-man foray with some success.
And these seniors, they will be the last team that played 11-man football at Assumption. So
never know what the future.
Good, because very valid point.
We've seen teams come back. Because like McDonald's going back to 11-player after this year. So you never know. And the plan is for every school, they want to have that decision because that means more kids are coming into their schools. So.
Exactly.
8-player. Speaking of which, last week, Newman Catholic back on the winning track. Cardinals defeated Niagara 22-14. Quincy Fender, 18 rushes, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Tristan Fisher defensively, 11.5 tackles. Everett Pent, 9.5 tackles. Cardinals, again, a little banged up. They jumped out quickly, 22-0, but able to hold off a Niagara rally. And a solid win for Newman. And again, I think something that doesn't get said enough is Newman has this run in 8-player football where everybody sort of expects them to come out there, roll the helmets out, and win. It's not that way. They're like all these other 8-player teams. They're one of the smaller 8-player schools now, and yet they find ways to win. And they give great credit to the coaching staff and the players and the whole community because it's not as easy as sometimes they make it appear.
No, it most certainly is not. And obviously they took one on the chin last week against their big rivalry. Against Almond. And I think if Coach Micklig were sitting here, and at some point he probably will, we can ask him.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we will get him on.
But these are the years when you coach like crazy, right?
Yep.
Or even when you have last year when they had all the injuries. Take his state championships and gold balls, and that's what'll get him into the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure he will end up there. But ultimately, as coaches, you look back and reflect upon these wins and seasons like this, and you do a lot more coaching and have to make a lot more challenging decisions and a lot bigger problems to solve in a season like this. So good, they're off to a great start, 3-1, and keep rolling forward.
Yeah.
Other side note to that one. So the Warriors played at DC Everest last week, Steam Stadium, and it's the first time that I've seen that I'm coming home from Steed Stadium, driving down Bridge Street on my way to my house on the east side, and lights at Valley Field. So over at Newman, I come down the one, I'm like, what is going on here? What is all this?
Their game went longer.
Yeah. So it was very cool to see how lit up that is and how that changes the look of that neighborhood. So that was exciting for them, and have those night games is great for those kids to have that experience.
It certainly is. And we heard from Quincy a couple weeks ago, Friday night lights is a real thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Also in the CW8, Almond Bancroft 3-1 beat Port Edwards 59-6. Tri County is undefeated in that conference, and they beat Wild Rose 70-12. So, Marion Tigerton got a forfeit win. So it's actually interesting looking at that conference, and we'll talk about more of the matchups coming up. But you got Almond Bancroft and Newman, I think, perennially kind of the top teams in that conference. Port last season tied for the conference championship of those two schools, but this year right now the leaders are Tri-County and Marion Tigerton. So again, even an 8-player, there's some change from what we're used to seeing, and it's just a very interesting first 4 weeks of the season here in Central Wisconsin high school football.
Forget about matchup or who you're playing. When you score 70 points, there's a lot of good things going on in your program. And obviously, it probably speaks more to your athletes and somewhat to the opponent. But, yes, I kind of like it. We've talked about it in the CWC large and small, too. Like, there definitely is some shifting of those programs and where they're lining up and how those matchups are falling. So, yeah, it's been fun to watch.
The top two teams in 8-player football are both in the North Central East 8-player. McDonald, number 2 ranked. They beat defending state champs Owen Withy 39-0. And Gilman is the number 1 ranked team in the state. They beat Cornell 37-0. Gilman and McDonald play this week. 1-2. So it'll be interesting on that side. Thorpe also beat Lake Holcomb, and Alma Center Lincoln beat New Auburn 30-28. Athens is now 3-1. So the Falcons just down the road here, down Highway 29. They are 3-1 after beating Bruce 26-16. Evan Pascal had 30 rushes, 155 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Added 10.5 tackles and an interception. That's almost similar to what we see with Treve Stoffel filling those stat sheets.
He sleeps in Saturday mornings, it sounds like.
And then also Phillips beat Rib Lake 42-18. Phillips 3-1. Rib Lake 1-3. Shawamigan Butternut Mercer 15. 54, Prentice 30, and Flambeau stays undefeated. They beat Hurley, who's now 3-1, 40-8, and Flambeau 42-8. So Flambeau's a team to keep an eye on as we get closer and closer to the new 32-team playoff, which will be in eight-player football this year. So that is the recap of week number four. At halftime for the 11-player games this week, we'll be at the exact halfway point of the regular season. Eight-player, we are at the halfway point, four out of eight games. So the season flying right on by. And we're going to talk about week number five coming up in 1 minute. It is the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the WIAA, are the 178,000 high school sports students in Wisconsin. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, soccer, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, administrators, and officials. We stand for the swimmers, football players, and wrestlers. We stand for the golfers, softball, and volleyball players. We stand as the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
And welcome back, Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and again on YouTube.com on the 98.9 WXCO channel. With Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. Week number five, and as I said earlier, some action tomorrow night. In fact, we will have a game for you right here on 98.9 WXCO tomorrow night, and two more then on Friday. But let's start with the Wisconsin Valley Conference, and the big game is a crossover game. It really is a very intriguing game as the Hudson Raiders make the trek over to Gerke Field, take on the Stevens Point Panthers. Hudson 4-0 after a nice win against New Richmond last week. Stevens Point, as I said earlier, 49 points per game offensively on their 4-0 start. Panthers and the Hudson Raiders. And
yeah, I would have to say that Spash is probably sick and tired of us saying they haven't played anybody, so they're probably excited to get one. I would say this. This one, I think, really will kind of give some clarity to where both of these teams are at, because when West played Hudson, I mean, Hudson won at the end kind of going away, but it was a football game for most of the game. Spash has not really been challenged. So I think this game will kind of tell us quite a bit more about who Hudson is, and then I think it'll also tell us quite a bit more about how the Wisconsin Valley East kind of matches up as we move forward.
Absolutely. So, again, that game Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff at Gerke Field. Then D.C. Everest will try to be 3-0 in the conference, move into first place by themselves, because that will be a non-conference game for Stevens Point. D.C. Everest home against Marshfield. And Marshfield, again, this reminds me a little bit of last year. I think kind of counted them out because they were ugly early, yeah. But then they came to Tom Field and knocked off Wausau West, earned a playoff spot. And as we talked about before, Denny Gadel knows his way around a football team. Coming off the big game against West last week, I would not be surprised to see Marshfield give a battle against D.C. Everest Friday night.
Yeah, I think, like we talked about with Corbin a little bit, that Marshfield, especially within the conference, right? I mean, that there's the outliers, New Richmond, Rice Lake, and the Menominee, their crossover games. But I look at Marshfield brings athletes every time. Coach Gadel's been doing it a long time, like you said. And I think Everest is definitely the favorite one. But the other things we talked about both off air and on this little bit, when you talk about playoffs, and you just mentioned it again too, how they would kind of write them off for dead early and then they found their way in. I think when you talk about Marshfield, Rapids, North, Memorial, probably throw West in there at this point too until they get a couple more wins under their belt. Like, these games really make a huge difference as far as not only how the conference lays out, but who gets in with the four wins probably for sure, and then you kind of creep down into who might get in with three wins. So games like this are really big, and Marshfield has to start looking at the possibility of who do we steal one from in order to get enough wins to guarantee ourselves getting in. This would be a great place for them to start.
Wisconsin Rapids at Wausau West, 6:35 p.m. airtime Friday night right here on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Lincoln is 0-4, 0-2. Warriors 2-2, 1-1. Warriors are 2-0 at Tom Field so far this year. They've done the job when they've been the favorite. They've come up short when they've been the dog. They're the favorite here this week. But again, I think for Wausau West, it's trying to maybe reestablish the offense a little bit.
Yeah, I think like we talked about earlier as well, like when with DC Evers, when things didn't go well, one of the ways offensively that you right the ship is by being able to rush the football. I think that's one thing West looks to do this week. Obviously, Rapids strugged again last to stop the run last week, so that's kind of something West will look to do. On the flip side of it, Rapids is looking for one good win to kind of light that fire under Coach Krenz and a new staff and a new traditions and everything they do. And they watched the game last week, and they think that they've been chucking it a lot, but maybe their game plan changes a little bit, and they look to run the football a little bit more this week. But it's a little bit of an intriguing matchup. West looks to get right, and Rapids looks to find that first win for the program.
And the other game in the conference is from the western part of the conference now. We talk about Eau Claire and Eau Claire Memorial and Eau Claire North. Memorial hosting North. And I was saying during the break that with that win last week, North has one win towards playoffs. Here's a great opportunity for number two. And for Memorial, again, they have been better this year. They have been much better defensively this year, not giving up nearly the points they gave up a year ago. They went to Marshfield last week and battled right to the end of that football game. Like you said, every one of these teams, there's still a pathway to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think the other element to this that we don't know a lot about because they're from the western half, but this is the rivalry game, right? This is their version of the good old log game, North and Memorial, and so I'm sure there's going to be a great crowd as they're playing at home in this rivalry or on campus for the first time ever, so it's probably going to be a great atmosphere, and I'm actually very interested to see how this one turns out.
Great Northern Conference, and three of the four games are tomorrow night, so some early high school football action, and tomorrow night, 6:35 airtime right here on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It's Wausau East at Mosinee. Wausau East 1-3, 0-2 in the conference. Mosinee 2-2, 1-1 in the conference. And I think both these teams feel they're still very much in it because there's still those high expectations, but boy, this turns into a significant game, and I think, again, we've talked about this with some of the folks from East and Mosinee, this is going to become, I think, a pretty good rivalry in this conference.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, there's a lot on the line this week, right? East needs to right the ship and get that conference win. Mosinee looks to get back on track. I'm sure they're not happy about that loss to the T-Birds, and you hit it on the head. I think back to Tree Stoffel sitting in that chair last year and Jesse Nebgezik sitting in that chair, and what did they say? Like, this is it. This is the rivalry. This is the football-only conference, but in that time, they've had some good matchups, and in non-conference in their other sports, they've had some pretty heated matchups. So I think this is going to be a great game. I think there's going to be a lot of emotion there, and I think depending on the outcome, really, really brings things into clarity in the Great Northern Conference.
Merrill Blue Jays. We talked Merrill football earlier in the show, and the Blue Jays 2-2 overall, 1-1 in the conference. The Antico Red Robins 1-3, 0-2. We heard about the rivalry game. It is the War on 64, and we heard about the trophy. A kind of a cool. They got an actual Highway 64 sign as part of the trophy, and we've heard as well that the road team has been winning this one on a rather consistent basis in recent years, and the Merrill Blue Jays want to win at home tomorrow night. And I think Merrill comes in having to feel really good after beating Medford. That is a significant win, as we heard. First time in a decade they were able to do that. Andrigo comes off of a couple of really tough losses. They got to get something going early if they want to try to pull off the upset.
Yeah, I think until they do something different, they kind of sit at the bottom of the conference. I think Merrill, we talked about it last week and again this week, even though they're 1-1 in conference, they have the two traditional big teams in their rearview mirror, and they came away with a really great win against Medford and played a really great game against Mosinee the week before. So for lack of a better way of putting it, Merrill still controls their own destiny when it comes to a conference championship, or at a minimum, a shared conference championship down the road, because they win out, somebody else is going to have a loss along with them. So really big game for Merrill, I think. I think it's great for them to have this one at home and build on their momentum.
Lakeland at Medford, and normally, you know, you see a team that's 4-0 overall, 2-0 in the conference, taking on a team 1-3 overall, 1-1 in the conference. You say, yeah, Medford's the undefeated team. No, Lakeland is the undefeated team. Massive game in the GNC. That's tomorrow night again.
Yeah, this one too, I think. I don't know, not having seen Medford in person yet, I keep waiting for them to really do it. You had mentioned that earlier that they had 6 turnovers last week, right? Mm-hmm. That is certainly an anomaly for any team, in particular a team from Medford. So they clean that up. Lakeland is rolling. I think this is probably the matchup of the week in the GNC.
Tomahawk at Rhinelander. Tomahawk, this is Friday night. 4-0, 2-0. Rhinelander, 2-2, 1-1. Rhinelander, a really good win at Tom Field last week. They gave Lakeland, it was a seesaw game, a 43-32 final 2 weeks ago. Again, I mean, you have an undefeated team, but I would almost say that I expect Rhinelander to win. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those cases where I think that sometimes the records here, it doesn't mean that much at this point of the season.
Right. I mean, I certain we don't ever put money. It's for recreational purposes only, right,
exactly.
Chad? I would have a really hard time betting against Tomahawk at this point.
They're finding ways,
I was
right?
going to say, until they prove that they're not. And I think such a big part of that is playing as a team, yeah, kind of playing together, having those experiences and success in other areas. But at the same time, Rhinelander has played well, and probably, I mean, at some point, I think what potentially gets Tomahawk is a team that's bigger and has more depth and is able to play for 4 quarters and have that consistency. Is Rhinelander that team? I'm not sure. We'll find out.
CWC Large, some good matchups in this one. And we've got a couple of 4-0 teams. I love those undefeated battles at this point of the season. Amherst, 4-0, 2-0. Loyal Greenwood, 4-0, 2-0 in Loyal. And as I said earlier, that's going to be a fun atmosphere. It's a feel that, if I'm remembering correctly, there was actually like some dirt on it too. And I mean, it's like again, this was a number of years ago, yeah, when Newman was in the Cloverwood and Loyal Greenwood was in the Cloverwood.
The Greyhounds mean business.
And Amherst has this beautiful new field that he played. This is not that. This is going to be it's a true road game for Amherst. So I'm really curious to see what this one is, because Amherst have been so good this season.
Yeah, I also think that Amherst, obviously isn't going to take them for granted as a 4-0 team.
Right.
And this ends up being a really quality win for them. Can Loyal Greenwood compete, keep it close long enough to make it a football game, or does Amherst truly establish their dominance in the CWC Large this season?
Stratford at Wyawega Fremont. Stratford 2-2, 2-0. Wyawega 3-1, 1-1. Another very intriguing matchup. And for the second straight week, Stratford going on the road against a very solid conference opponent.
Yeah, and Whitburn kind of handed it to Wyawega Fremont a couple weeks ago. Stratford and Whitburn had a overtime barn burner last week. So, I mean, I think everybody for the first time realizes in a long time, is Stratford gettable?
Vulnerable.
This year? Vulnerable, that's the better
word.
The V word
that
sure
you don't use around Stratford,
yeah,
very often.
Exactly. So, obviously, Wyawega Fremont, I'm sure this week in practice has probably a little extra edge to it. But I think Stratford got that. I think that's a big win for them last week. They had to work super hard for it. It was overtime. Was that the turning point in this season for Stratford? I think we'll find out in this game.
And real quickly, something that I don't think we've talked about enough about Stratford is, while they've had some struggles offensively, their defense has been really good.
Yeah.
So I think that's been carrying them up to this point. And one would expect that the offense is going to start to pick up a little bit as they continue. And then Marathon at Colby, both teams 1-3 and 0-2. It's not truly an elimination game, but boy, you really want this one to keep those playoff hopes alive.
Yep, and I think Colby's kind of been down, so I think this is one when they look at who's left on your schedule and where the wins come, I'm sure Marathon goes into this one thinking that that's the one. And I think kind of going back up to Whitburn, Spencer Columbus too, that's Spencer Columbus has been playing tough. Whitburn's coming off a tough loss, probably one Whitburn thinks is a good one for them to get. So could be a good matchup in that one as well.
Merrillwood CWC, Edgar back into the league, 4-0, 2-0 in the conference at Pittsville. Pittsville has not won a game on the field. They did get the forfeit because Rochelle leaving the conference. So they've struggled so far. Edgar looking very, very, very likely. Again, it's easy for me to say, but tough matchup for Pittsville.
Definitely. And I think just generally speaking, last year I felt like into week 4 or 5 throughout the season, we felt like Pittsville was heading in the right direction. They haven't really showed us any signs of that yet this year.
Abbotsford and Assumption both are 2-0 in the conference. Abby 3-1 overall. Assumption 2-2. For Assumption, it's about slowing down that Abbotsford run game.
Yeah, and that's a really tough task. I don't know exactly what Assumption's depth is, other than to say it's probably not great as they look to go 8-man moving forward. So I would say that's a tall task. That's going to be a really full defensive box against Abbotsford, but no one else has really been able to slow them down to this point, so it could be a tough night for Assumption.
Auburndale gets their conference forfeit, as this was the week they would face Rochelt, but they face Bark River Harris, and I went and did some research on Bark River Harris. They're from the UP.
Yes, so they are. I remember them from my days at Northland Pine. We never played them, but they were in the what the heck was the name of the conference? We had a large and small. It was the West Pack, so the Western Upper Peninsula Conference, and then they were in the smaller version of that. So they played like Lakeland and Hubble and Ontonagon and some of those other smaller teams up there.
I should have known you would know about them being up north. And then you have Pacelli and Iola Scandinavia. Again, one of those games where one of the teams gets that first conference win. So you talk about the games that have 4-0, 2-0. These are just as significant. These teams want these games so badly because they see this as a great opportunity to maybe spark something.
Yep, these are the matchups where they get those 1-2, excuse me, possibly that third win, which could get a team into the playoffs.
And then we look at 8-player and some good matchups in the CW8. As we mentioned earlier, teams like Newman Catholic and Almond Bancroft and Port Edwards, the tri-champs a year ago, this year leading the way is Marion Tigerton and Tri-County. And you got Newman Catholic, 3-1 overall, 2-1 in the conference at Marion Tigerton, 3-1 overall. They lost a tight one to a Rochelt in the opener, a non-conference game. They're 3-0 in the conference. The game will be heard on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show Friday at 6:40, and also on tape delay following the Wausau West game. But not an easy road trip for Newman Catholic, as Marion Tigerton trying to stay undefeated in the conference. So Cardinals a little banged up, but it's going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, sometimes when you have some success like Marion Tigerton, haven't had it in the past, it's hard to maintain that when you play a team who does have that pedigree and that style of coaching. So this should be a great matchup, and not looking too far ahead, but jumping down to that next game too, like there's the potential after this week, if things really went, there could be 4 teams who are 3-1 sitting in the top of that conference.
You're
next
exactly
week.
Right, because Tri-County 4-0 overall, 3-0 in the conference at Almond Bancroft, 3-1 and 2-1. Almond's only loss came to Marion Tigerton a couple of weeks back. As Coach said, I mean, they got 3-0, 2-1, 2-1. If the 2-1s beat the 3-0s, then all of a sudden 4 teams are at 3-1. So another very interesting game.
I think also that Tri-County game being in Almond Bancroft, as Newman would report, that's a tough place to play football. So that could be a good one.
You're exactly right. And North Central East 8, McDonald and Gilman. And I said it, you don't get this too often. Number 1 ranked team in the state in this week's coaches poll, Gilman. Number 2 ranked team in the state, McDonald Central. So the thing about it is, now with 32 teams in the playoffs, I think both teams are well on their way to making the postseason. But it does give a rather intriguing midseason look at some of the best teams on 8-player football.
Yeah, this should be a great matchup. These are always the ones that, and rankings even through 4 weeks are suspect at best. We know that, but this is one of those games when you look at it, you just want it to be a great game, right? You want it to be a 40-42 or whatever the case is.
And then finally, Athens looking for their fourth win of the season. They're at Hurley, and again, Hurley's had a lot of success in 11-player football and now in 8-player, and they come off a tough loss to Flambeau, but Athens looking to try to work their way towards the postseason. So.
Yeah, Hurley, I want to call them the Midgets.
I know.
I think they're the North Stars.
Something
is that
like
what
that.
They are now? Yep. Yeah, but Coach Erickson's a great football coach, so I'd be interested to pick his brain a little bit and see what he does with that straight T backfield that he used to do in 11-man, what that looks like in 8-man football.
One of the two Scott Erickson's out there.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time, so we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, excited to see how this week's games match up and talk about them next week. So good luck.
Thanks for joining.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. What you won't see on late night TV.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
ABC has pulled the Jimmy Kimmel Live show from the air indefinitely. It comes after Nexstar said it was pulling the show from its affiliate stations over comments made about the motives of the Utah man who was charged with shooting to death conservative activist Charlie Kirk 1 week ago.
We had some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
FCC Chairman Brendan Carr thanks Nexstar for, he says, doing the right thing. Three police officers in Pennsylvania are killed and two are in critical condition after being shot while serving a warrant in North Codorus Township near the Pennsylvania-Maryland line.
They were ambushed by several rounds of rifle fire from a position of